as I've indicated, we are 10 minutes ahead behind the schedule. The regular schedule for 10 o'clock, and I'm going to take, you know, this opportunity or just to plead with members that we should respect time. We must make sure that we are on time when we are having meetings. And maybe to check with the department before we can start. Are we still expecting other people to join you, or are you the only person from the department?
Good morning, Madam Chairperson. Thank you. I'm Graham Dominey from the Department of Arts and Culture. I'm the National Archivist and the top manager responsible for libraries and heraldry as well. The Director General, Mr. Temba Wakashi, had indicated he would be attending this meeting. Unfortunately, I flew from East London last night, so I wasn't in the office yesterday, but the indication was that he will be joining us. It's possible that he's been delayed by if he flew this morning with the weather. But I'm prepared to continue with the presentation in his absence until if the committee is finds that acceptable.
Thank you, Mr. Graham.
Dominey.
I think Dominey should be easier for me. you know, I'll have firstly to check with the members that are we in the position to proceed. Bearing in mind that our last meeting, we were supposed to have a meeting sometimes last month, and the meeting was cancelled on the eve, precisely because of the department not honoring our invitation. So I find it very difficult today, because one would expect maybe the DG, you know, because he knows what happened in the past, maybe this time to try, you know, to rectify that mistake by being on time in the meeting. Because personally, I feel that it sends, I don't want to go to that conclusion, but it sends something, you know, the wrong perception about the department and how the department treats this select committee on education and recreation. I just want to check with the members whether is it fine, we can proceed, not bearing in mind what happened, because this meeting that we scheduled, it's three schedules, because only because of the department, it was not our making to reschedule the meeting. Members, I would just want to check your intake on this matter.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have a problem if we can carry on. So we do have another meeting this afternoon at 12 o'clock, rather to wait on the other person. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I was going to say the same. I think I agree with Honorable de Villiers. Let's carry on.
Thank you, Honorable Members. today we are expecting a briefing from the Department of Arts and Culture on the building of libraries in communities as well as in schools. Maybe firstly I would like to indicate that most of our people in the rural areas are mostly neglected and they don't have access to information. People's lives depend on information which can be done, you know, for us to get information, we should be having libraries. That is why it's very crucial. And the other thing, we are talking about promoting literacy in our communities, but we can only access that if we've got well-stocked libraries. That is why we felt that it's very important, more especially taking that when we take even from the side of education, we are talking about early childhood development, which also needs the child to have a sustained foundation, you know, in order to overcome the problem that we are having as this country. But for the, I'm just going to hand over to Mr. Dominey just to take us through his presentation.
Madam Chair, the Director General's arrived.
Thank you. Thank you, DG. I was just about, you know, just about going to I don't know, but let's keep it aside. But anyhow, let me just take this opportunity to welcome you, DG, and thinking that we are going to have a very fruitful and informative interaction. I'm just going to hand over to Mr. Domene to give us the presentation, to lead us on the presentation. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Domene.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. on behalf of the Department and the DG who's now joined us, it's a great pleasure to give this report. For me personally, this committee in past years played a major role in acquiring the conditional grant, and I think it's key role has been well recognized both by Minister Jordan and by Minister Pingwana. And it was my privilege to actually do some of the early presentations which resulted us in getting the grant. So I'm very happy to be here today. We are now in the third year of the conditional grants for community libraries, Madam Chair. The first thing that we will do in this presentation is deal with the government's mandate, the need for the transformation of the sector, the conditional grant, the major projects, the major challenges, and the conclusion. The mandate of the current administration given by the electorate in the election focuses on equity, rural development, socio-economic development, service delivery, skills development and capacity building, and policy development. And all these six key focus areas are relevant for the conditional grant in community libraries. We inherited as the chairperson has said, a neglected rural sector with millions and millions of marginalized people. The old four provinces ran provincial library services, but the libraries catered largely for people either in the centers of cities and towns or the leisure time reading for the white middle class. So we have to transform that sector. The other factor about that model of service delivery, if you can use those terms for pre-1994, was that it was based on a partnership between provincial and local government. The local government provided the staff in community libraries and maintained the buildings and the electricity and all those services. The provinces would supply the books and reading material and the professional support services and coordination. The challenge came with the new constitution in Schedule 5, where the role of local government was redefined, and libraries basically fell through the cracks. This has led to a decline in service delivery and the need to raise public awareness about how important this service is for overall socioeconomic development and for literacy. I've touched on the disparities in service provision, but we need to rectify and create a level playing field as far as possible. One of the key things that libraries can deliver on is the government mandate to promote social cohesion, which rests in the Department of Arts and Culture, and the DG was chairing the relevant FOSAT committee. The activities that lead to, as far as libraries are concerned, that can promote social cohesion are, of course, through promoting literacy, through providing a space where people can study safely. This was a very strong message from former Minister Jordan that the library should become a safe place for the community to interact. And the library should be, he also used the word, and Minister Pingwana has used the word as well, it should be a beacon, where even if it's in a township where people are, or an informal settlement where people do not have amenities at home. If the children are in the library, the parents know they are safe and that they are engaged in constructive, worthwhile educational activities. And in that sense, what they're bringing into the family binds the family and promotes social cohesion. And out of that, of course, arises capacity building. Just an anecdote. As the libraries are expanding now in rural areas and as IT is being placed in the libraries, we're finding that people who never had access to information about job opportunities are now getting access to that information. So the word is spreading, and the ability of people to improve their lives is increasing. With the conditional grants, the purpose was to transform the urban and rural community library infrastructure, facilities, and services, primarily targeting previously disadvantaged communities, through a recapitalized program at provincial level in support of local government. The outcomes are improved coordination and collaboration between national, provincial, and local spheres of government, transformed and equitable library, LIS's Library and Information Service, delivered to all rural and urban communities, continuing, and improved library infrastructure and services that reflect the specific needs of the communities it serves. Improved staff capacity at urban and rural libraries to approximately respond, respond to community needs, and very significantly, an improved culture of reading. The key outputs are community library governance structures established. I remarked earlier on the Schedule 5 problems that we really need to rebuild the governance structures between the three spheres of government. The purchase of new library material. This includes material in Indigenous languages, especially for young readers. ICT infrastructure and systems upgraded. Services for the visually impaired introduced at community libraries, which we'll touch on further later. The building of new library structures, the appointment of additional staff, and, of course, appropriate monitoring and evaluation. These are the allocations for the NTEF period between 2009 and 2012. And by the way, the Treasury has indicated that the grant, unless something disastrous happens, both in administration of the grant or to the economy, it will continue to 2012-2013. So for the current financial year, the Eastern Cape has 55 million rand, the Free State 40 million, Gauteng 46, KwaZulu-Natal 34, Limpopo 55, Mpumalanga 55, Northern Cape 58, Northwest 52, and the Western Cape 40 million. For the next year, Eastern Cape 62 million, Free State 45, Gauteng 51, KZN 38, Limpopo 62, Mpumalanga the same, Northern Cape 65, Northwest 59, and Western Cape 45. For 2011 to 2012, 65 million to the Eastern Cape, 47 to Free State, 54 to Gauteng, 40 to KZN, 66 million both to Limpopo and Mpumalanga, 69 to Western Cape, 62 to Northwest, and 48 for the Western Cape. Over the first quarter expenditure indicates a very variable set of outcomes. The first column is the provinces, the second column is their total budget for the year, and the third column is how much the national department has transferred. The fourth column is how much has been spent by each province, and the fifth column is the total available that has been the percentage spent, I beg your pardon. And you will see that, for example, the Eastern Cape, 55 million, of which the first quarter has been transferred, 11 million, and they have only spent 3.7 million, which is 6.8% of the overall annual amount. I'll just run through the percentages. Free State spent 11%, Gauteng 1.4. There are reasons for that, particularly if you see Western Cape has also spent under 1%. KZN 10%, Limpopo 8%, Mpumalanga 5.7%, Northern Cape 12%, and Northwest 7%. And as I said, Northern Cape less than 1%. The figures for Gauteng and the Western Cape are anomalous because they transfer almost the entire amount directly to municipalities. And the municipal financial year does not coincide with the government financial year. So in fact, they've transferred the last quarters of the last financial year, the last quarter of the last financial year, at the end of that year, for the last quarter of the municipal financial year, which is from April to June. The other figures are indicative of the fact that at the beginning of each financial year, the provinces enter new service level agreements with municipalities, and then they cannot transfer funds until the service agreement, the SLAs are signed and approved, and new procurement and tender procedures have to be put in place. So there is usually slow expenditure in the first quarter of every financial year. But in many cases, we are quite concerned that it's slower than is really warranted, even given these difficulties. The Treasury imposed certain strong conditions for this grant. The funding is not replacement funding for provinces. The provinces have a constitutional mandate to deliver this service, and they receive funding in terms of the equitable share for libraries. This money is therefore not a way out for a province not to budget for the libraries in any case. Secondly, the provinces remain accountable for funds that are transferred to municipalities. Even if Konkwini in the border between Mpumalanga and Gauteng is spending the money, the Gauteng province is accountable, and it's then accountable to the Department of Arts and Culture. We are accountable here and to the National Treasury. And they must undertake effective monitoring and evaluation at municipal levels. The department, our department, has beefed up its M&E capacity. We've appointed 3 provincial coordinators who are looking after 3 provinces each. One for the Northern Cape, the 3 Capes, Western, Northern, and Eastern. The other for KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, and Northwest. And the third one for Limpopo, Free State, and Mpumalanga. Their duty is to take the business plans and benchmark the progress the province is making in terms of implementing the business plans on the ground. For example, if they say upgrading of a library, to go and check that this has actually been done. And this has revealed to us that we need to refine our own terminology because there are inconsistencies. In one place, upgrading can mean they painted the wall. In another place, it can mean they added a study area for scholars. But we are engaging with the province as to how to refine that. Then I think what will particularly interest the committee, Honourable Chairperson, is the infrastructure achievements in 2008-2009. Let me just say the grant began in 2007, and for the first year, we recommended to the provinces that they should not embark on infrastructure projects because everything was settling down. It was a new grant, the new systems had to be put in place, the procurement procedures had to be put in place, and we felt that if somebody said we will build 5 libraries in year one, that was unrealistic. They began planning in year one, and the rollout in terms of infrastructure is now becoming apparent in the third year. Zuurbekom Library, and I must just add that this is based entirely, these slides, on what the provinces tell us. We hope that our next report to the committee will be able to compare what our own M&E provincial coordinators are telling us with what the provincial authorities themselves are telling us. And let's hope they sing on the same hymn sheet, but you never know. So Zuurbekom Library has been upgraded. A new library has been established in Kwaggafontein in Mpumalanga. In Gauteng, a new library at Hekpoort in Mogale City. The Krugersdorp Library has been upgraded, and back in Mpumalanga, a new library was established at Mkuhlu in Bushbuck Ridge. Also in Mpumalanga, a new library was established at Kamatekeza in the Inkomazi municipality. Also at Morganzon in Gertsebande region. Morokweng Community Library was completed, and in the Western Cape, sites in rural areas were established for mobile book trolleys for small communities. For the current year, the infrastructure projects are a new library in Tweefontein in Mpumalanga, in Northwest at Lebaleng. Limpopo is behind schedule with two libraries in Tulumela and Fetakomo. In the Eastern Cape, there are two libraries being worked on. One is at Mount Aleph, and the second one is Mdantsane in Buffalo City outside East London. In fact, I was in East London yesterday on that project, which is a flagship project financed by the National Department. The minister did the sod turning at the library a couple of weeks ago. In KwaZulu-Natal, Mbazwana is expecting a new library. I think that's actually a regional service point rather than a community library. And in Gauteng, Fishkail is having a new library. Nationally, we have a certain portion of the budget is top flight for the National Department for coordination, monitoring and evaluation, and special projects. The first of these is to improve access to information for the visually impaired. One of our departmental institutions is the South African Library of the Blind, which has developed a new technology called DAISY, which enables the rollout of Braille without the huge cumbersome processes that were previously followed. And this equipment can be installed in each and every community library to give immediate access to a blind individual in a local area, rather than as in the old days, they would have to write to the Library of the Blind in Grahamstown, register with them, order material. The material would then be posted, and it could take an awfully long time. Secondly, I alluded earlier to the issue of publications in Indigenous languages. We are always told by the publishers and the booksellers that there's no market for books in Indigenous languages. So we received a mandate from the minister that we must, to cut a very long story short, and I hope that Dr. Jordan will not think I'm misquoting him, but essentially the challenge was to prove them wrong. So the department has begun, through the National Library, by republishing the classics in South Africa's African languages that is now being made available to the community libraries for people to get access to and read again. So far, I think 27 titles have been published last year, and another more than 27 are scheduled for this year. The National Library has also published two volumes of a catalogue of all publications in Indigenous languages, so that people know what is available. And as the interest picks up, I think the publishing industry will be seriously challenged. We also ran a national architectural competition among students at the various universities which offer architecture to design a model library. They had various challenges, a library in a dry rural area or in a forested area, a library in a township, a library in a city center, so that they could experiment. And elements of the design of the winning designs have been incorporated into the design of the new Mdantsane Library. And then, most important, to go back to my earlier slide where we talked about the transformation of the sector, we have been developing a process to develop a library transformation charter. The committee has been chaired by Professor Nkondo, and the sixth draft has now been presented both to the Minister of Education and to the Minister of Arts and Culture. We hope it will be finalized. It's been to MinMec, and then it can be published, and we can get critical buy-in from the stakeholders, and in this case, stakeholders particularly include local authorities and SELGA. As the funds began to flow into the sector again, it became apparent that there was a skills shortage. Over the years, several universities have stopped offering library and information studies, and there's a shortage of skilled graduates coming through. So we have established an investigation which should be complete within a couple of months to look into the state of training of librarians, archivists, records managers, and related information specialists to see, one, is how many universities have closed these schools? Is the training they're offering still relevant? What can we do to improve things? And we hope perhaps to come up with a bursary scheme to encourage people to go into the field. You know, some of the universities might still be, I don't want to preempt the findings, might still be teaching librarians how to catalog using those index cards. Now, it's totally outmoded. They should be learning a new IT-based skill. So we're trying to evaluate how modern the training still is. We are also engaged in a new, drafting a new piece of legislation, which in terms of the Constitution, it's a national mandate to set norms and standards, and the norms and standards legislation will govern the implementation and expenditure of the conditional grants, so that we would only be giving funds in terms of a legal mandate and a legal framework. And we would have this as the strongest possible template and benchmark against which to assess what is being done. There are cases, and we all know the lack of capacity in municipalities. That a municipality would find that one of the few people on its staff was a tertiary education would be the librarian. So the librarian is then redeployed to the municipal manager's office to give support there, and the quality of the people who redeployed into the library goes steadily down. You know, a secretary or a clerk goes into the library and then redeploys or resigns, and finally the library is put together with the section that looks after the cemetery, and the person who's looking after the cemetery is also looking after the library. So there's very poor service delivery. This would be addressed in legal terms by the norms and standards legislation. And the most important thing we are trying to do is work our way around the difficulties of Schedule 5 with this legislation, so that one of the things our service provider is looking at are some of the other definitions in Schedule 5. The municipalities come and say it's an unfunded mandate, but we've asked the librarians to report back on all the activities that take place in the libraries, because many of them have group activity rooms where the community has community meetings. There can be everything from sewing classes to sports to debates to various community activities. Now, that's defined in Schedule 5, the B section, as a community amenity, which is a local authority competence. So if a library is performing that role, then we want to argue that the municipalities should not be cutting funding for it, even if it says that the province is responsible for library services. I think the DG might wish to talk about Braille production a bit later. Currently, there's an investigation into Braille production because the system is also an inherited system and very clumsy. The department is responsible for the South African Library of the Blind in Grahamstown, which produces Braille and audio work. It also supports the activities of Blind SA, which is a non-profit organization in Johannesburg, which also produces Braille. Now, Blind SA has the capacity to produce in all 11 official languages. The South African Library of the Blind, given where it is in Grahamstown, can only produce in English, Afrikaans, and isiXhosa. It's very difficult for them to actually access specialists in other languages, although they try to get students out of Rhodes University who come from other parts of the country involved in reading for audiobooks. But that's a bit ad hoc. So we are trying to streamline this, and it involves an interaction with the Department of Education, because one of the other confusing parts of the system is that various special needs schools produce Braille to a greater or lesser extent for educational purposes. The third big production house in the country then being the Pioneer School at Worcester here in the Western Cape, where there's a national reach, and they even produce material for Namibia, but constitutionally they should only be a provincial school. So you have all these anomalies which are being looked into. And we have in this country, we believe, if we can get the coordination right, the capacity to extend services across the SADC region. A little bit more about the Library Transformation Charter. The MINMEC was briefed on the 24th of July, and we are hoping to be able to brief both the Portfolio Committee and this committee, as well as SALGA, and the LIASA AGM, which is the Library and Information Association of South Africa, meets in Bloemfontein in a couple of weeks, and it will be finally presented there. And then a cabinet submission, a cabinet memorandum will be submitted. Our major challenges, the staff turnover versus the skills shortage, the Schedule 5 problems, and then I think I've touched on both of those, supply chain management issues are a serious concern in many provinces. We interact constantly with provinces such as Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Free State, where these issues have really held service delivery back. Part of the problem is that almost all provinces have a policy that the preferential service provider should come from within the province. Now, that's fine if you're in Gauteng or the Western Cape or even KZN. But those three provinces are the only provinces where there's a substantial publishing industry and book-selling industry. So if you're in the Free State or Northwest or Limpopo, there is no local publisher or well-organized book-selling chain. So to practice that policy in the province leads to problems and challenges. Then as far as infrastructure is concerned, there are continuous problems that I think people would be well aware of. Anybody who's renovated their own house will be well aware of it. And when you're doing large projects, the problems are magnified. There are problems with the tender procedures for procuring service providers. Many provinces, the provincial departments of sports, arts, and culture, are dependent on the provincial works departments. And the library work does not necessarily get the prioritization from the provincial works department. And in some cases, there's even lack of capacity in provincial works departments as well as in the departments of sports and culture. The vision of the National Council for Library and Information Services is that South Africa should move towards being the best informed nation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Dominier. I just want to check with the DG. Is there any addition that you would like to make?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And honorable members, I was just moving closer to my colleague and so that we can take questions together.
You're fine. You can move.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. My apologies for running late this morning. Dr. Domini had alluded to the fact that I might want to talk to the issue of Braille and Braille production. And this is really a challenge for us. because if we have got 11 official languages and we are predominantly producing Braille in three languages, then it's a challenge to other languages. What happens to a blind person who speaks Xitsonga? What happens and so forth? It is quite a serious challenge that we're looking at. We also believe that if we get this one right, we will be able to service the certain countries. If we produce in material in Sesotho, then a blind child or a blind person in Lesotho will be able to get educated. Similarly, in Botswana and so forth. So this is an area of focus for us, and we think that we can make a significant difference not only in our country but in the region. Yesterday, we got information from the European Union that, and Dr. Dominic doesn't know this yet, and that we have got 100 million from the European Union to back us to deliver on this one. And I think we can make quite a difference. And it's also about dignity of the people. You know, if you find all blind persons who are educated are able to maintain their dignity, they are at universities, they are in parliament, and so forth. And you find that blind people who are not educated are at the street corners and unemployed, begging, and it's a moral issue, it's an ethical issue, it's an educational issue, but I think that properly handled, we can really actually make a difference and be able to say, we have delivered to the people with disabilities, and I think this is one of the of the areas where we can the encouragement and support that we are receiving from the European Union is actually indicative of that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Gigi. I'm going to allow the members, but before that, I'd like to thank the department for their presentation, and we expect that we are going to interact with the presentation, and maybe as the department is aware that as NCOP we represent provinces, so the questions will be informed because members are from the provinces that are representing the provinces here. They know what is happening, where they're coming from. So I'm going just to plead with the department not to feel somehow as if we are trying to be fine or what, but just to take it in the spirit that we want to work together. We've got a purpose, I think, which is that we've got a common goal, ourselves and the department. So I'm going just to request the interaction just for more information so that we can interact and take, you know, work together in this department. Thank you. I'll start with Honorable Cyber, Civilian, Honorable Mube, in that sequence.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. And it's nice to be in this committee, Madam Chair, as a new member. I would just like to ask a question. We were in the workshop yesterday where specifically budgets were worked on. And what was quite clear to me was that the Northern Cape, though we are a vast, big province, but we've got a little bit of people in the province. There's not a lot of people in the Northern Cape itself. We were at least 25% in accordance to big provinces. So we had little budgets according to Gauteng, Western Province, KwaZulu-Natal, etc. Now, what is funny to me, I am very happy, but I don't think the other big provinces would be happy. But if I look at the overview of the 2009 MTEF allocations, the Northern Cape gets the biggest of 58,820. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this budget has been worked out or this allocation. As I say, as a representative of the Northern Cape, this is the best news I have ever seen in a long time. But I believe that the bigger provinces, I don't know how they got to that. If I can just perhaps have clarity on that. As for instance, Gauteng's only got 46 million, which is a much bigger province with much more people. If it can just be explained to me, I would really appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do have a lot of questions here. I do understand that the department do have a lot of problems about redressing the backlogs in the different provinces. And it is very difficult to achieve equity. But in the rural development areas, that is a problem, but especially in cities, in the suburbs, we've got a lot of problems about drugs and gangsterism. And in those suburbs, there's also a lack of libraries. Can the department just give me some idea what is happening about that situation? The other question is about the unfunded mandate at local municipalities, local governments. I just want to find out what is the performance between performance about addressing the unfunded mandate between province, national, and local government about that. Is there some kind of development or memorandum of understanding what is happening in that situation? Norms and standards. We were informed about the norms and standards, but I'm very worried about the addressing of disparities in the different areas. If I can talk about the Western Cape situation, because I'm a representative from the Western Cape. I just want to find out, do the local municipalities and also the officials in the libraries know about the norms and standards in the addressing of libraries in the municipality? And I do believe that libraries can play a huge role, especially in addressing the social cohesion in the different areas. That's why I'm asking that question. We must be able to address the problems in the municipality. Then the other question, Madam Chairperson, Dr. Dumini also talked about the education of teachers in the library area. And I do know that in our schools currently, there's not a lot of teachers who are actually trained to do the library situation and the education for our learners at school. Can we just have some information about that, the training of those teachers? I heard that some universities, they are still busy with the old way of training those people in that area. But I do believe that these teachers in the past, they play a huge role, especially to guide the learners in which area they must go and study. So those teachers play a very important role at our school. Now, Willem, do make notice about the allocation of the funds. I just want to find out what is the formula they use to allocate the funds to the different provinces.
I rather stop there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I will start with adding, because my colleague here has started raising it, on the, whether it's scarce skills or scarce personnel, do you have a strategy of maybe marketing the library part of it to students in universities so that they can take library as part of their career. Also, maybe before you even go to universities, it means it has to start at the secondary level, so that as and when they exit grade 12, they know that there is this scarce skill that is there. So then maybe also in your strategy, looking into what can be the incentives that will go together with this attraction so that they're able to close this gap. The other one is on monitoring and evaluation. You are saying you have appointed at least we have appointed personnel to monitor three provinces. And I'm interested on the transferred fund or grants. When I look here, you've also indicated that there's a slow pace in Gauteng and the Western Cape. And those are the key provinces that are known to be so-called elite. But the pace, I mean, you said the accountability lies with the province. So what has been done by these coordinators that are doing the monitoring to try, because at this rate, I don't think 2012 will find them have implemented this when there is a need in the community to ensure that this program or project goes ahead. Also, on the norms and standards, you have an intention to develop norms and standards. Do you have timeline in terms of how soon? Also, the whole question of the transformation charter, you have a date in July, maybe done. However, with the, do you have a timeline in terms of saying you envisage briefing the select committee by this time and briefing the portfolio and at this time, so that we are not left behind. Lastly, is on the specific one, as we are coming from the provincial with, we know it's a housing issue, but one is also supposed to be raising it here because I'm at NCOP. There is an Alex, it's called Alexson Center. There is management there. It's managed by the board. It's a multi-purpose center. But within the multi-purpose center, there is a community library there. So the multi-purpose center is threatened of closure as a whole, which includes the community library. And when we were dealing with media last week with the Alex Radio, the community members were phoning to say thanks that you are in the, because we're in the studio of Alex. You have come to Alexander, and the Alex studio is located within the multi-purpose center. So they were then raising to say, what can you do to salvage out the closure of the multi-purpose center because of this buzzing of the community activities in the center? So what is clear there when we're reading, because they also gave us the documentations, is that this board, it's a whole question of mismanagement, poor planning, and not being able to raise funds to sustain that multi-purpose center. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation from Mr. Dominic. Very difficult setting. Honorable Chair, let me start by the issue under transformation that the department in transforming the sector, the thing that are going to raise a public awareness. I just want to get it clear how the department is going to do that. Well, what mechanism are you going to use to ensure that the public is aware of the, you know, the libraries? Another point is in relation to capacity building. I just want to get it clear from the department as to this capacity building. It goes along with the issue of, which was raised by one of my colleagues here, the issue of timelines when you intend to do things. Because if you don't have timelines or time frames, we might find ourselves for the rest of the financial, for the rest of the term, these issues will still, you know, remain unattended to, because there are no time frames. Because time frames will be able to make us to ask the department why you couldn't do this thing according to the time frame you have set. Then you shall have got reasons to respond to that. But if something is just open, I'm having a problem on that. Also, the issue of improving the coordination and collaboration between national, provincial, and local government. How are you going to do that? What mechanism are you going to use to ensure that, you know, this collaboration and coordination? If unless it will be an ongoing, you know, process. Another one. Let me leave this one off time frame, because time frame, as I was saying earlier on, it will respond to all your outcomes input. The time frame will respond to that. Another question, Honorable Chair, in relation with the transfer of funds to municipalities, and then after you have transferred funds to municipalities, you are saying provinces are accountable to those funds. I find it very, very difficult for provinces to account for the monies they did not receive. How do they account because they did not receive those amounts? Because it's only municipalities which receive those amounts and then they know how to utilize those funds. And then the other issue which my colleagues touched on is the issue of the coordinators. Each coordinator was given several provinces. I just want to check the amount of work of these coordinators. If the amount of work will be huge and he's given three provinces, one or two provinces are going to suffer in terms of coordination. And lastly on this one, what are they coordinating here? Yeah, I think, Honorable Chair, I have exhausted my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I think before I give to the department, we are going to have another round of set of questions to the department. But before I give over, I just want to hear from the department, what is the status quo on national library policy? What is the status quo? And maybe to check whether it has been adopted. If it has been adopted, Have we already started implementing that? The other question would be, I'm a little bit disturbed by the spending of the provinces. Maybe the department must give us an indication. If you are saying that at least the department has spent, the provinces have spent, what are you looking at least the average? Because really, this is really disturbing, more especially if you go to the ground that you find that there's been allocations, there's grants to the provinces, but you don't get what the communities or people on the ground are supposed to be to get. And the issue of monitoring, really, to me, we find the situation in some, you know, where you find when you will be asking the national department, and then you will say to you, it's the responsibility or the competency of the province. But the national department being the one who's allocating the funds to the provinces. I just want to check, what is your monitoring mechanism and how effective is that? Are you satisfied that the provinces are delivering to as expected on the matter of libraries?
Before you another question. You just before department response, you said I requested that in the progress of this matter I need to be asked to then you said you indicate the
mask. You want to be
yes. Thank you very much.
Over to the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will just take two or three, and then Dr. Dominic will get more into the detail. And the question of are we satisfied that the provinces are delivering? It's a yes and no, ma'am. Yes, in the sense that if one looks over the period of the of this provisional of this conditional grant over the last 3 years, there has been delivery, but the delivery is uneven. And what is of concern to us is the fact that the provinces that are the most neediest are the ones that are actually not spending, and part of that I think must be linked to the capacity of the state to deliver, and that fundamental question is what we really need to look at, and then we will be able to address this matter properly. A few weeks ago, we were with the provinces, and they were tabling their a report on expenditure. Now, what you find is that, for example, in provinces like Gauteng, they just transfer all the money to the municipalities, all right? So when you look at the pattern of expenditure, it is 100%. All right. But if you want to scratch a little bit deeper, you actually find that that beautiful picture have got some, like, really some uncomfortable patches. And within that context, may I suggest, Chairperson and Honorable Members, that, you know, because now, as a department, we are presenting a global picture, I think we also need to come here with the provinces, all right, so that the provinces, each province can present its picture so that we can also engage with that. It's absolutely critical. Because if you don't do that, ma'am, we won't be able to answer your question satisfactorily. We will just be giving a global picture. So that's why I said it's a yes or no. And the second matter is the strategy of promoting or popularizing library services at universities and at law. I'm just taking the global ones, and Dr. Domin is going to get into the details ones. It's difficult because degrees in humanities are not seen to have economic value. All right? You look at people who try and promote languages, people to study languages, then they say, but what am I going to do with it? All right? And you go and you popularize libraries, but then it's not enough. You can come up with the most brilliant arguments, and then, but let's look at the salaries of the librarians. You go to the museums. I mean, the salaries in the arts and culture sector generally need to be looked into, because what is on offer is not attractive, you know. My poor colleagues, they don't doy doy. They are not unionized. Yeah, they don't do it right. And they suffer. You know, you go just from here, go to the South African Gallery and talk. It's a labor of love, you know. But nowadays people tell you that men cannot live on bread alone. I'm not trying to be sexist. Oh, women cannot live by bread alone. They also want PMs and other things and iPods. And so we need to look into the sector as a whole and see whether the conditions of service are enough to attract new skills. For example, South Africa has got one maritime archaeologist. And we have got a coastline of more than 2,700 kilometers. And what happens to our underwater cultural heritage, the shipwrecks and all of that? And what happens if that archaeologist, God forbid, emigrates or goes on to be with his ancestors? Yes. It's a broader problem that we need to discuss, and also the poaching of South African skills. We invest a lot of money training people, and when they're trained, they're taken out of the country. So it's not an easy one. It's a multifaceted one, and which we need to look into. MEMA can only undertake to look into the issue of the Alex Multipurpose Center. The challenge there has always been that we entered into what we thought was a colleagues, not a gentleman's agreement, a colleagues' agreement, that we will build the infrastructure of the community art centers. The provinces will maintain that infrastructure. The local government will handle the programming. And needless to say, they did not come to the party in most instances. Yes. So what you are finding then is we are now trying to we're going back into the drawing board to say at least let's ensure that there is programming as the national department. Because immediately there's no programming, that place gets closed, it becomes vandalized, and all of the things, and then you are faced with the challenges of fruitless expenditure and so forth. And we can't just be building and leaving things to be vandalized, building, leaving things to be vandalized, because that also creates its own problems. But can I undertake that I will look into the question of the Alex Multipurpose Center and come back to the honourable member. And I'm quite sure that our deputy minister also would know what's happening in Alex.
Yeah.
And there was a question of public awareness on all of these things. Most of the public awareness is happening, of course, at both professional and political level, with Izimbizo and the MECs in the provinces as well. And I think that the public awareness that the Honourable Member was talking about, it's not just about a public awareness of saying we know what's going on, but it's the public awareness of usage of the facility when it is there. Because there's no point in building. On Sunday Times, there was an article and that said, black people do not read. We tend to read. Even they said even the ones who have got university degrees don't read. We read sociology at university, and when you are done with that, that's it. And when you go and you visit people, and you find that they have got an impeccable collection of DVDs, CDs, and but no books at home, and therefore. Children are not exposed to the culture of reading because the parents do not read to them. And what I missed in that article was the fact that what do you read to a black child when there are no children's books in African languages? What do you read? All right. These are the questions that we need to look into. And if we are really talking about the transformation of the library service and we're talking about the transformation of the charter, it's not just about... there are, of course, the questions of infrastructure, bricks and mortar, all right? But we must also be able to talk about the mind that we're investing in and the social conditions under which that mind is growing up. And these are the things that people tend to gloss over in the hurry for us to deliver. Because when you have got, you are able to say, in this province I've got 20 libraries. You think you have delivered? Yes, you have. Perhaps 20%. You know? So if you can be able to dissect this thing so that when we are looking at this grant, we are able to say to ourselves, 20% has gone into children's books. 30% has gone into promoting multilingualism. 15% has gone into ICTs. This has gone into infrastructure, so that the picture, a better picture, emerges. And I'm the first one to say, Madam Chair and honourable members, that that picture is not there at the present moment. And that's the picture that we need to look into, because I think that after 3 years, we must be able to say, how has this conditional grant impacted? You know? And not wait until the end. But I think that within the 3 years, we must be able to say there are some measurables. And so may I ask my colleague to take the difficult question. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, DG, for the assignment and the deployment. I'd like to be just carry on from what where the DG concluded on monitoring and evaluation. I think he's absolutely correct. We're learning by experience, and one of the first things I just touched on very lightly is that we may not be asking the provinces the right questions or getting the right information from them. We are so obsessed, not quite the right word, but we'll use obsessed, in just getting the report out of them so we can conform to the Treasury guidelines under the Division of Revenue Act. And thank heavens that Province X has got it in, now we can send it to the Treasury. But when you begin to interrogate it, the gaps that the DG has alluded to are there. The first impact assessment of the expenditure is being done at the moment in terms of the requirements of DORA by a service provider who has highlighted to us where how the structuring of these questions is inadequate. And we hope that we can submit this report to you so you can see it, and that we can at the same time show you how we wish to address these gaps and get better information out and better information back that will really demonstrate far more effectively how the grant is being used. One thing we would like to do over a very long-term basis is to take an area, a rural area, say with three or four schools, where there was no library. When the library is built there, evaluate the matric pass from the year before the library was opened and see over the years whether or not the results from that school improved. Indansani might be one of the points where we do it because the Eastern Cape results are generally not the best, and Indansani is the second biggest township in the country and didn't have library facilities. So this library might well be the guinea pig in many ways. Further about monitoring and evaluation, each province also has a top slice of the grant that it must use for its own internal monitoring and evaluation. And the three people we've appointed are there to beef that up. In addition, the National Treasury has the Technical Assistance Unit, the TAU, which works very, very closely with our department in the monitoring and evaluation. They spent months in the last financial year in Limpopo, basically sitting on them until their supply chain management issues were resolved. Unfortunately, when they withdrew, the balloon came slowly down to earth again. Let me deal with the question, since I've got the slide up, of the allocations and the formula. The grant was implemented with effect from 2007. The year 2006 to 2007, we began planning, and we appointed KPMG to do a status quo report and advise us on formula in terms of which we should allocate the grant. Now, please remember that this grant is to supplement what provinces should be spending out of their equitable share. So KPMG looked at the performance of provinces based on their equitable share expenditure and what they were achieving from it, and found that, for example, Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN were doing better than the other provinces. Consequently, that was one of the factors in deciding how the grant should be distributed. Secondly, in addition to the way the equitable share is distributed, which is simply according to the number of heads there are in a province, they factored in other issues such as additional costs in achieving an outcome. And they're very clever accountants, and they can do all these formulas. And that's why the Northern Cape received the biggest grant, because to actually deliver a service to 1,000 people in Gauteng costs significantly less than it does to deliver a thousand service to 1,000 people in the middle of the Kalahari. So the Northern Cape's grant was adjusted to allow them to be able to get mobile libraries out into the deepest rural and semi-desert areas. You'll see that the provinces which have high need are, without a distortion, according to the factors I've outlined, have more or less the same. For example, Northwest and Mpumalanga and Limpopo are all within a couple of million of each other. I'm moving now to the question of the grant to the municipalities. One of the honorable members said, why are you holding the provinces accountable when the money is going to the municipalities? In fact, that is the choice of the province. The money goes to the province, and they themselves can decide whether they will expend it or transfer to municipalities or any combination of the two. In Limpopo, they do not transfer to municipalities because of lack of capacity in municipalities. But because of the constitutional requirement that in terms of Schedule 5, it's a provincial function, even if it's delegated to someone else, the province remains accountable. They get it and then they pass it on. Let me see what else. I think the DG's covered transformation, raising awareness. Oh, timelines. The question that we are actually engaging at the moment with the parliamentary liaison staff to get a slot to do the presentations on the Library Transformation Charter to this committee and the Portfolio Committee, and I would hope that we will be able to do that during this current session. We'd like to get the whole process wrapped up before the end of this year. The question about timelines, I think, also related to when will people actually finish or open libraries and to what extent will services have improved within, say, 12 months or 18 months or 24 months. That's built into the business plans that the provinces submit through us to the National Treasury, where they say that they will have 5 libraries completed by year 1 and 16 by year 3, et cetera, et cetera. And the technical assistance unit of the Treasury, the people who are just doing this impact assessment, and our own M&E people are checking against the business plans to see how that can be done. So we sincerely hope that the monitoring and evaluation will be much tighter within the next year or two. Transformation Charter, we've dealt with. Alex. The entire thrust of the Library Transformation Charter is towards a new policy and towards the buy-in of the sectors between the municipalities, the provinces, and the national government to get that policy in a form that it is accepted and implemented by means of the legislation. The charter process and the legislation process are going together so that there has been a significant degree of consultation, and the charter was consulted very widely in all the 9 provinces, both professionally and among stakeholder groups, youth, disabled, even correctional services was engaged because it's an important facility for prisons as well. I think, the last one was the issue of teachers. We work with the Department of Education and have held numerous consultations with them. Unfortunately, again, you know, what we may be saying to our colleagues in National Education in Pretoria is possibly not happening on the ground between provincial education and provincial libraries in the provinces. But we do our best. And even at local level, we encourage the local librarians and their professional association, LIASA, provide support and capacity building in it, so librarians will interact with local teachers and form a forum so that they are engaged with the library and learn how to use it and what benefit it can bring to their children. I think I've answered, ma'am.
Thank you, Dr. Domini. I just want to make a follow-up. There's one question that I feel that you haven't even tried to answer that. That from your point of view, if you say that at least the province has expended spend on grants, what are you looking at? Plus minus out of their allocation.
Ma'am, can we take the next round while I look for that? I think I've got the information on one of the computers from the last, but it's actually not in this presentation. But I think I can give it to you before the end of this meeting.
I'm going to allow for another round. I'm going to start with the members who have not asked the question, then we'll move to Honorable Magatla, Honorable Rancho, Honorable Borotto, in that.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My apologies to all the members for joining the meeting late. You have answered my first question, partly, with regards to the government mandate, that is 6 bullets below. The NTF allocation for Western Natal is too low, yet the KZN is a rural province. It's too low. I think the KPMG didn't consult other areas. Let me be honest to you. There is delivery in urban areas, but not in rural areas, more especially in the schools. Your delivery is not enough. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to add on what Honorable Nube has said about the Alex issue. Né? We've got the same problem in the Eastern Cape. There's a place in the Eastern Cape called Bergersdorp. Bergersdorp has a multi-purpose center. I'd love also the DG to also concurrently with the one of the Alex just check what is happening, because that multi-purpose center has nothing. In fact, it has been built and it is there. It was launched last year. But it has nothing in it. Also, in building these infrastructures, I read one time an article in the paper that says South Africa likes to build, even if there are old buildings that are not used. But South Africa is still building other buildings on top of those buildings, instead of renovating the other buildings and make it the thing that they want it to be. I'm worried because I see this presentation is all about the libraries in the communities, but it's nothing is said about the libraries in the schools. Maybe it's going to be debated in another department within the Department of Education, because at school, the Department of Education, the infrastructure itself has not enough classes. So I'm worried about the part of the library. Where are they going to get a space for the books or for a library? Also, there is this activity that is done every year called the Library Week. In our provinces, or in my province, promoting reading and writing, but that activity is done once a year.
And nobody makes a follow-up after that. What is happening after that activity? I don't know. It's been happening for the past 15 or 12 years. I think the coordination of work needs to be monitored also. We don't have to monitor the finances alone, but the coordination of work from all the relevant departments so that we can achieve what we want. Because you'll find that in the other provinces, there is less spending. You'll give them a huge amount of money, and yet they don't spend the money. It's not that they don't spend the money because they've got enough. No, they don't spend the money because there is no clear direction on what are they supposed to be doing with the money. I think the department should check on all those things. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I've been covered in most of the questions that I wanted to raise. But I will come back to this one of maybe from what was said immediately about the spending patterns. Is there a way of monitoring the spending patterns? And I believe that if there is a way of monitoring the spending patterns, then we also expect that maybe a national, as it distributes this money to assist the provinces, there should be a guide as to the structure that is being put in different places. I've got a problem of where you find that there is the same structure. For instance, if there is the same structure that is being erected in different areas, you are able to come up with maybe one amount. For instance, we have this monitoring team that has to monitor. We have seen tendencies where through the tendering processes, you find there is the same structure but different amounts are being paid to different tendering services. I believe that if we have a particular structure that is a guide to say this is how this should be, that will assist a lot in terms of our also making oversight over such things. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is the performance. Sometimes we are saying the performance is hindered by the people that we hire. We are talking here about the capacity of the librarians that will be deployed to those libraries. Who will be coming up with the criteria of which people should be deployed to those areas? Why I am raising this question is because we are talking here about the people that come from rural areas, and we are also talking about urban areas. And my belief is that even if we are in rural areas, what we want is for our people in those previously disadvantaged areas to be able to be on par with the global world. So what are we looking for exactly when we are talking about it will be the librarians will be informed by the needs of a particular community or so. That also must come right. And then coming again to this percentages that you have said here, that is between April and June. What are the actual expectations from the department? If they are saying these people have spent only 5% of the money allocated to them and others have spent 11% of the money that was allocated to them, what should be the trend in that instance? How should they be spending? How are we going to be guided? Maybe we need clarity on that our expectation as national when we distribute this money is that starting here, like Honorable Mashamaide talked about time frames, I think that also covers it. Let me just stop there for now. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I want to come to the issue of underspending and overspending. That as a department, how do you detect that this province or this municipality is going to over or understand? And what are the interventions if you detect that? Maybe using the technical team that you referred to from Treasury, are you able to detect the over and underspending elements? My second question, Chairperson, relates to the two libraries which are still under construction, but still incomplete in Tulamela and Tulamela and Fetakom. I just want to check whether these two libraries are being funded from the current allocation. And then, lastly, Chairperson, I just want to ask the department maybe to provide the committee with the report of particularly on libraries, because now we are talking of libraries, particularly on arts and culture from 2006 and 7 up to 2007 and 8, because this is 8 and 9. Eh? Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to make follow-up. I want to raise the question of your engagement with the publishers. I've heard in your presentation that you engaged them and you got the response and you did it on your own. As a department that is entrusted with the promotion of indigenous languages, and there's this area in terms of the publishers. I was serving at the national level at the Learning, Teaching and Support Material National Committee. And we once raised, together with the department, unions and the department, we're engaging the Association of Publishers because there are schools that have resorted to take indigenous languages as their language of learning and teaching in line with the constitution, the choice. However, those schools are suffering of the insufficient non-availability of textbooks, and teachers are suffering. The department on its own have tried to engage the publishers. Jointly, unions and the department have failed to win the support of the publishers in terms of publishing textbooks or books in the indigenous languages. We have a lot of schools in Western Cape, in Eastern Cape, in KZN, few in Gauteng that have done that. Then the teachers end up scratching whatever, trying to interpret from English to whatever suit or whatever. So we'll appeal, because in your state plan it's there also, the promotion of indigenous languages. We'll appeal in terms of at your level, try and engage them in terms of responding to the need. This is being promoted by the publishers, because most of the schools, they say it's no use because we don't have textbooks on this. But there's no textbooks because there is no political will
and commitment nor memorandum of understanding to push the publishers to respond to the need of the country. Thanks.
Chairperson, one of my questions is a follow-up, especially in connection with the... services in the suburbs. What is the situation can you give the community availability or access to availability on the libraries in schools? Because I actually believe that may be some solution for the absence of a library in the suburbs in the city. Is there some kind of working relationship between arts and culture and the education department? My first question is about what support services are there when province do not deliver on the service of libraries, on assisting those provinces. And the other question, let me just get it here. In connection with deaf people, deliveries are available to assist those people by making use of the services in libraries? And my last one goes around the tenders. Usually my experience were that in the Department of Transport, when they are building schools and they plan to build a school for an amount of 15 million, but when they finish that building, it comes around 31 or 35 million rand. What mechanism is in place to prevent that overspend in planning of building libraries, especially in the local municipality? That's my last question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've just got a short question, and that is, in the Northern Cape, the Kung and the Kwe, the Sun people, have you actually developed reading material for them, as I believe it's one of our new indigenous languages in the Northern Cape, and I really believe that they've got their own SABC channel already, but are we also in the way of books reading material? Looking at the Sun people, I'd like to know if there are any developments according to that. Thank you.
Before I hand over to the department, I would just want to add one or two more questions so that when you answer, you just wrap everything up. I'm a little bit worried where the department is saying that allocation of funds from the provincial level, it's not consistent. You know, one province will decide to take the funds to municipalities, and others will decide to distribute directly from the provincial level. Don't you think that this thing is going to cause, you know, a problem, because there's no consistency? And even if when you want to monitor, how do you monitor that? I'll just want to check the intake of the department on that matter. And maybe if my second question would be, I've got three libraries from the Northwest. Maybe to ask the department that they should do a sort of research around these libraries and provide us with the information later. When the library in Ganalagte, we do have an area called Ganalagte. There has been a library which was built by the community more than 10 years now, which is not operational. It's just the building there. It's not being used. What is happening? And the other one is around the Ipelegen community library, which there was money allocated for building this library in 2005, but up to now nothing has happened. If we can just take what is happening. And the Poshville Community Library, which the process started but now it stopped because of the differences of the stakeholders. If we can maybe get more information around that so that when we go on research we can do oversight over this. And lastly, maybe to indicate that it is a worrying factor that when we talk about information, we say that people should have access to information. But what is happening, you find the situation, the sites where these libraries are located, really, they don't assist the communities. They are far from the communities. If I have to give an example, one area in the northwest which is called Setakole, there's a library alongside the road. The village is very far. How do one expect that the community can make use of that library? Because it's not within the present where the community is staying. I think it's one of the issues that really, if we monitor, then we'll be able to pick up these issues before it can, before even the building can be erected in the area, just to check whether is it going to be accessible for the communities to use that infrastructure, or is it going just to end up being just a wealth? I think.
Thank you, Chairperson. it was a mixture of comments and questions. So we will note the comments and we'll try and respond to the questions. There is something that this presentation did not do, and we did not talk to the political / human factor in these processes. And at times, let's take, for example, the library in Mdantsane. Mm. The library in Mdantsane was delayed by a year, if not more, because of just simply local politics. And political leadership wanting to say, to claim, yes, and it blocks service delivery. And then you want to build here, and in Tanzania, I think we were given 3 sites, for example, and the politicians were fighting about which site is going to be which, is going to be where. And it's the reality on the ground. It's very difficult for us as bureaucrats, as officials, to enter that terrain. But it does affect our work, you know. And so, yes, ma'am, at times these buildings end up being white elephants, not because of a lack of planning, but because of political egos. I'm sorry to say that, but the reality that we deal with. And we will look into the libraries that you alluded to, the 3 ones of Ibilegeng, Poshville, and Hananlachte, yes. And then the multi-purpose center at Beggarsdorp. And we will, ma'am, you are correct, we should discourage different mechanisms of reporting, because then you are unable to actually get a sense of the norm. If one province says we just delegate to municipalities and the other one says we are doing it ourselves, and there must be one standard of reporting. We have raised that matter with the provinces, but again, even there, we're going to need a political support so that the political leadership abides into that. And we will collate the information from 2006, what we have done. And then we don't need presentation on that one, we can just make that information available to the select committee. And it's a pity that honourable member is gone. There's a statistic, a number that came out also in that article I had referred to earlier on, that South Africa is a country of 50 million people. But for a book to be a bestseller, it struggles to reach 25,000 sales. So generally, we don't read. It's a worrying trend. And the technology as well is impacting. But you see, what is interesting is that before you even also begin to engage with that technology, you must be able to read. So people who are not able to read are even losing out on the technology itself. So it's the matter of escalation of construction cost is a matter of concern, really great concern. And at times there is a collusion amongst the builders, you know, on these things. And mainly because they know that we do not, I don't know anything about bricks and mortar, and I rely on the guys who will tell me what's going on there. All right. But the tendency is that we would go to Public Works and say to Public Works, assist us with oversight. But Public Works as well is overstressed. So what do you end up doing? You end up with a consultant to do oversight. And that also contributes to the escalation of costs as well. And it becomes a catch-22 thing. One of the things that is quite interesting that came out was that government pays between 60 and 70% more for services that the private sector gets. The government gets ripped off.
Yeah.
Continuously gets ripped off. Any assistance we can get and ideas on this one, we would really welcome. And it happens with almost any project that is started by government. There's always an escalation of costs. Because people just think that the easiest way to make money in South Africa is to rip off government. Yes. Bachonjan. It's a cause for concern. Dr. Domini, can you please wrap up?
Thank you, DG. Madam Chair, you requested percentages of the expenditure last year. I'll pass this document onto the Secretary. It was actually for MINMEC. But you can see that I'll go through the... this is to the end of the 2008-2009 financial year, end of March this current year. Eastern Cape, budget of $42 million, expenditure $35 million. Variance $6 million, spent 84%. Free State, $31 million, expenditure $28 million, variance $2 million. Spent 92.9%. Gauteng, $35 million, expenditure 33, variance 1.7, spent 95%. KZN, $26 million, expenditure $24 million, variance $1 million, spent 94%. Limpopo, $48 million, expenditure $47 million, variance $800,000, spent 98%. I must add that with due respect to our colleagues in Limpopo, that was because the National Treasury's Technical Assistance Unit was standing over them with whips to make sure that the invoices are processed, the orders are processed, and they got it. That's how they got that good figure. In Mpumalanga, 43 expenditure, 33 variance, 9 million spent, 78%. I understand they had problems with three infrastructure problems, contractors going bankrupt, moving off site, so they had to stop projects and had to, yeah. Northern Cape, 45 million, expenditure 34, variance 10 million, spent 76 million. With Northern Cape, they had these container libraries, which were delivered to Kimberley, and they couldn't find a, what is it, an articulated vehicle, a horse and trailer big enough to move it into the remote rural areas. So that part was not spent. Northwest, 40 million, spent 39, 96%. And Western Cape, 31 million, spent 99%. I can pass this document to the Secretariat, ma'am.
Can you just sit for 2 minutes before, because I'm going to close now, because I know maybe to explain to the department, but they should be aware of the situation that we've got a very limited membership. So you find our members are sharing. So although it sends a bad message, but this is the situation that is beyond our control. No, you
the
policies
in that meeting for
Volum.
So
you
can
sit. Is
that
okay? Thank you.
The honourable representative from Northern Cape wanted to know about the San and Nama languages. There is a project that the department has been supporting around the legacy of the San and Nama peoples. It has resulted in a number of oral history projects to try and record the languages from speakers who are still proficient in the languages. But as yet, we haven't been able to bring it into the indigenous languages for two reasons. We've got such a backlog of the officially recognized indigenous languages. But it is being dealt with at the moment on the research level. And if I can just say one thing to encourage the honorable member from KwaZulu-Natal, I believe within the next couple of months they will be opening a new library in Tugela Ferry, which is in one of the deepest rural areas you can find in Msinga.
I did it. Thank you, members. Maybe before I conclude, I'm just like initially when I indicated that our last meeting, this meeting was supposed to sit 2 weeks back or 3 weeks back. 3 weeks back, we've got an apology from the DG that he has written an apology, and on behalf of the committee, that apology is accepted. And maybe DG, again, we are about to go for recess. I'm going to plead and make a request that I made in the previous meeting, that if there are packages, please can members be provided? It can be the flags, because if you are aware that we've got a challenge that most of our schools, they don't have flags. They don't even know the meanings of those colors on the flag. Please, this time, I'm sure that before we go on recess, something would have happened. I'm pleading.
All right. Thank you very much. We will definitely do that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Because we don't have anything now, let me keep that agenda and thank everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. I thought it was wrong. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Oh my God. How was that?
No, I thought it might be Korean delivery.
I'm going to try. I've got one meeting, and then I'm going to try and connect the slide. Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, we're going to